seems as though there's quite a bit of effort that is put forward in bridging gaps in our society. And it's interesting to look at the demographics of our society, and you see the different age groups that are out there, and it happens in congregations also, and there should be some concern, there should be some desire to bridge gaps that exist even within congregations because of the demographic of a congregation. There of course is a standard that will do that, and we'll kind of talk about that in this particular lesson, but I want to talk about being a bridge. It's from the standpoint not of an individual selecting who is wrong and who is right, not from the standpoint of an individual being a bridge from the standpoint of who I like and who I don't like, but really talking about being a bridge from the standard of truth. And I'm afraid that sometimes there is really not the proper desire that there should be in being a bridge in connection with our brethren and those that we deal with. There's a saying that was made by Les Coleman, an author: a bridge has no allegiance to either side. And there's truth in that particular matter. It is a structure, and it serves both sides. There's an application to that in the spiritual sense, which I want to present this afternoon, that is true in the way that we deal with brethren, and especially in times when there might be some strife and there might be problems. And I think really this is what Paul was talking about when we look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, when he said, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And I think that what he's saying there is that I'm not taking sides, even though there are divisions among you and so forth. I'm not going to choose one side or the other. I want to be the bridge in bringing you to the truth. I'm not going to take the side of those following after Cephas. I'm not going to take the side of those following after Apollos. I'm not going to take the side of those following after myself or after Christ, in a sense. But what I want to do is be a bridge in service to all, so that there's a common understanding. Now, I think that's what Paul is talking about where he makes that statement, especially when we look at the context of 1 Corinthians, first chapter, where the house of Chloe had certainly testified to him of the divisions that were taking place within that congregation. I want to talk about us Christians in being a bridge to our brethren. And we think about that, first of all, in times of trouble, bridges are needed. Bridges are needed. There needs to be a way to close that gap. There needs to be a way where there can be a give and take. There needs to be a way, as long as there's not compromise of the truth. I want everyone to understand that. But there needs to be a way in which there is a give and take in connection with our beloved brethren on both sides of the matter. If at all possible, being a bridge in that situation. Think about it from this standpoint. We are to be a bridge, but by focusing on the real matter of issues. Jesus did this when we look in Luke the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 15 to start with. Luke 12, 13 through 15. Jesus had taught, and then as he was teaching, someone in the crowd said to him, verse 13, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now understand, this is out of the clear blue. Understand that what Jesus was preaching was that which was spiritual, that which was for the soul, that which was for following after God. And then someone out of the blue, it possibly in recognition of the authority by which Jesus spoke, made determination at that time to throw this out there because maybe he's the one to make decision about this. "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Notice what Jesus said: "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." What Jesus did is that he became a bridge at that time. "I'm not going to get involved in that. That's not my place. That's not why I came. That's not my work. I'm not worried, and neither should you be, about the physical inheritance. Rather, make sure that you guard against all covetousness." He taught the right thing to that man that needed to hear it at the time. Understand that you guard against that, because one's life is more than physical possessions, he says. And then the same thing is true when we look in John the 8th chapter in verse 7. And as they continued to ask him, and let me just set the stage, I'm sorry. Let me set the stage. This is, of course, when the woman that was caught in the act of adultery was brought to Jesus. And of course, there was an issue with this, and Jesus recognized that. And I think that's the reason he said what he did say, that we'll look at in just a moment. The problem was that the man in that situation was not brought also. And then the demand was placed upon Jesus, should we stone her according to the law? You know, where is he at? And should we stone him? That wasn't the option that was presented to Jesus at the time. Jesus understood what was taking place. He understood that it was a trick to try to get him to be discredited before the people. And so Jesus, as these Jews asked him, should we stone her? He stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And what he did, he created a bridge at that time that they recognized. Because you go on down through the text, they recognize this bridge that Jesus created. He closed the gap on this situation. First of all, he was not going to be a party to that which was presented in unrighteousness in the first place. He wasn't going to join in with those that weren't looking to serve God. He wasn't going to do that. We also see in the last part of the account that neither did Jesus excuse the woman for what she had been involved in. Woman, where are thine accusers? Well, there are none, Lord. Well, neither do I accuse you, but go and sin no more. He tells her that. But then he tells these, let him who is without sin among you first be the one to throw a stone at her. He bridged the gap in this situation. He said what the real situation is that there's a standard of truth, and neither one on either side of this bridge that I'm pointing out are standing for the truth. The woman is wrong, absolutely. She shouldn't have been in that situation, but you are wrong in what you're doing. You're not trying to follow God's will. Jesus looked at situations and focused on the real matter of issues. You know, that's a hard thing to do because so many times emotions are caught up, personalities are caught up in issues of brethren. And I'll tell you, there have probably been more splits over the color of the pews, the color of the carpet, than there have been over doctrinal issues. And that's a shameful thing, isn't it? And people get caught up in personalities. And you'll see it in towns. Two congregations that neither one would give money out of the treasury to support human institutions. They would never do that, but they'll have nothing to do with one another. They'll have nothing to do with one another. And so they usually because of personality, but what Jesus did, he took the personality out of it. He became a bridge and really looked at the matter at hand. That's what we must do in order to be a bridge to our brethren and to those that we deal with. At the heart of the problem is that which is from within men. And that is usually the case with all troubles that come about most every time. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verses 18 through 23. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatsoever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? That's not what defiles man. The outside influence is not what defiles the man. That's not it. He says, verse 19, since it enters not into his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean, parenthetical thought. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. That which he takes from within, out of the heart of the man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the person. The Jews had made an accusation. Why do your servants eat with unwashed hands? And Jesus is saying it's not about that which is outside. Jesus is now creating a bridge once again. He said, you're without understanding. Let me explain to you. My disciples are not wrong, but you're thinking wrong. But I'm creating a bridge where you can come together for the proper understanding. This bridge has within it, in the middle portions of that bridge, there's truth that is there. And you need to understand it. And so he says it is that from within that defiles a man, that which enters into the heart, that which becomes a part of his thinking, a part of the way that he conducts himself, that is what defiles the man. Jesus built the bridge with truth in order for there to be an understanding in the times of strife and trouble that we have, as we see in Mark the 7th chapter, verses 18 and following. Be a bridge by focusing on what is right. You know, there are those that will remove themselves from any sort of strife, trouble, and so forth, and leave it to someone else. Well, one of the persons involved is a friend of mine. And I'm going to remove myself from this situation. Let me tell you, in being a real bridge, you are the very one that needs to be involved in the situation. You are the one that needs to be involved. If you're truly a friend, you're going to want the truth to come out. And it's not about allegiance. It's about what is truth. It's focusing on what is right. Jesus did this when we look in John the 21st chapter, verse 15 through 22. I want to look specifically at verses 20 through 22. You remember, on this occasion, this is the first time that we have record of, as far as I understand, that Jesus addressed Peter after Peter denied him three times before he went to the cross. Jesus has now ascended. And he comes back and he looks at Peter and he, as you remember in the text, he asked him three times, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he asked him that three times. And then Peter turned and saw the disciple, and what Jesus had said to John prior to this was, "I will tell you how much you really are going to love me, because when you were young, you walked where you wanted to go. But when you're old, people will lead you where you do not want to go. When you were young, you dressed yourself, but when you're old, people will direct you in everything that you do." And as we see in the text there, Jesus is foretelling the death of Peter. He's foretelling the death of Peter, that he would die for the cause of Christ. Peter then, in verse 20, turns and sees the disciple whom Jesus loved. Talking about John being the author of this gospel. Says he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus had said, "You're going to die for my cause. You'll not be able to make your own decisions, and people are going to make it for you, and they're ultimately going to take your life." And now Peter's attention turns to this other, "Lord, what about John? What about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain till I come, what is it to you?" Then Jesus gets to the point, the real focus of the matter. He says, "You follow me." And that happens so many times when there are problems and strifes that come up among brethren, even among friends out in the world and so forth, where we might have some dealings to do with them and everything. They will begin to focus on the wrong things rather than focusing on that which is really right. And being a bridge makes people focus on what is truly right. It puts the truth in perspective. And that's what Jesus did when he said, "What is it to you? You follow me." You don't worry about John. You worry about yourself. And I'll tell you, if we all followed what Jesus said right there, things would be a whole lot better in our life. It'd be a lot better in congregations too, wouldn't it? It'd be a whole lot better. But people get focused on the wrong thing. Partiality promotes strife. And being a bridge, there can't be partiality. Look over in James, the 2nd chapter in verse 1. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." There are several different ways in which this wording comes about, but I like to think of it this way. You can't hold faith in partiality. And I think that's what James is saying. You can't really have the truth with partiality. Partiality is going to cause strife, because in that partiality you give deference to one rather than to the other. You are not being a bridge as you should be. You've taken sides of men rather than the side of God. And that's what happens so often. And so partiality has to be out of the equation in being a bridge. Here's the application to this lesson. Being a bridge to the lost. Be a bridge to the lost. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent, opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. You know, whenever I think about the statements that was made there, if there wasn't an initial bridge in Saul of Tarsus' life, a man by the name of Barnabas, would we have 12 books of the New Testament written to us by this man, Paul? By him being a bridge, look at all the truths that we have received. Look at all the direction that we have received. Look at all the hope that has been given to us through his writings. Look at all correction that has been given to us through his word. Think about what Barnabas really has done, not only for Saul, because you remember he brought him back to Jerusalem. When you look in the 13th chapter, excuse me, in the 9th chapter of Acts, where it says that Paul is saved to join himself with the disciples there at Jerusalem, they would have nothing to do with him. By the way, parenthetical thought, they had a right to not receive him. And it was proven right at first. But then, as we see later on, it was Barnabas that came and gave a commendation for this man, how he had become a child of God and turned away from his former ways. And then the congregation there at Jerusalem received him. Barnabas was the bridge, and that bridge has been a great bridge for each and every one of us in the truth that has been presented by Paul in this book. What a wonderful work he has done. And the reason being is he focused on the matter rather than not on personalities, and he brought the congregation and this one man then together. He was a bridge, and we need to do that. That's the reason we were told, don't judge with the outward appearance. Judge by the inward facts of the matter. And that's what we must do. Paul tells about his life here, but about also what it was that he became. And he became part of that. He became that through Christ Jesus, and then joined the work because of a bridge, Barnabas. Be a bridge to brethren in sin. James 5th chapter, verse 19 and 20, to start with, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone bring him back, let him know that whosoever brings him back was foolish in the first place, because he should have just written him off and turned his back on him and walked away. Is that what this passage says? That is not what the passage says for those that are listening to the recording. No, it is not. But I'll tell you, I think that sometimes might be the attitude of, so, well, let me just be very frank about this. In that situation with that fellow right there, good riddance. No, Jesus Christ died for him. And if you're not talking about someone with a warped character, but you're talking about one just needs to be taught, that's not being a bridge. That's not being a bridge. What it says here, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whosoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We also see that being a bridge in the right way in connection with those that are in sin and being a bridge to them not only affects them directly, but also there is influence on others in the proper sense. Because there is a hiding or a covering of the multitude of sin, the influence then is squelched. And others will not follow after those things that are not right and true and pure and just, because one has been a bridge. Then we have Galatians 6, chapter verse 1 through 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But I don't like him. I don't want to do that because I don't like him. I'd rather him just go on. It's not a matter about the person or the personality. It's about the matter of the truth. It's a matter about the love of the soul. And being a bridge, we don't have an option. Well, I'm going to be a bridge this time because I like the person, but I don't like this other person, so I'm not going to be a bridge. No, we don't have that option. There's not a like, a dislike, a partiality at all that is mentioned in this passage. What is there are the facts. The facts is, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, well, can we figure out a transgression? Well, John says we can. Transgression is, sin is transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Yes, we can figure that out. We can see that. There's truth. There's a standard that is there. Then what Paul is saying is, be a bridge. You who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, I don't know if I've ever commented directly on that particular passage and everything. What is he saying? You know, well, if a brother gets caught up in crack cocaine, make sure that you don't get caught up in protecting crack cocaine. Is that what he's talking about? I don't think so. I think he's talking about a prideful attitude. Don't you have the holier-than-thou attitude because recognition of the fact of exactly what I wrote about, Paul says, in Ephesians the 2nd chapter in verse 1, and you who were dead, he has now quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's made you alive. Recognize where you come from. Don't have that haughty attitude. I believe that's what he's saying there. And then he says, bear one another's burdens and so fill the law of Christ. I tell you, I can just barely keep my head above water, and that's true in a sense. But we also have the admonition, we need to watch out for others and to help others, our brethren especially. Then he says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That goes back to lest two you be tempted in verse 1. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. What Paul is saying there is, don't have the attitude of, man, beside him, I look pretty good. Don't have that attitude. You bear your own load as you stand before God in the truth. You be a bridge, but what you make sure of in your work as a bridge, that you stand in Christ Jesus and not on your own merits. It is on Christ Jesus that you stand to restore a brother who is sinning. I believe that's the point that he brings out there. Be a bridge when there is questions and strife among brethren. And I think about this, you know, it is so wonderful, and it's no accident whatsoever, that we have recorded for us and preserved by God, by the power of God, this Bible, this word that we have. And we have the word of blessing that comes to us. Jesus starts out with his teaching, Sermon on the Mount, with the Beatitudes, the blessings. How wonderful that is. We see also that we have the warnings that are there. And we can make an application when we go to the 23rd chapter of Matthew, when Jesus then addresses the scribes, Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! And we understand that, how wonderful it is to have that. But also, it is wonderful to have recorded for us a history of a strife and how it was handled. That's invaluable, isn't it? He didn't leave it up for us to guess. Well, now what I would do in this situation, well, no, it's not about what we would do in that situation of our own mind or our own thoughts, about what we've been given example to do by God. And it is right here in Acts 15 chapter. And look at verse 2. Remember, in verse 1, you have Christians from Jerusalem, Jews, that come down to Antioch and begin preaching, except the Gentiles keep the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. Which included, of course, circumcision. Verse 2 says, and after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to be a bridge, go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Why did they send them back? Let me tell you, right there in Antioch, you had an apostle of Christ Jesus himself by the name of Paul of Tarsus. He was right there. Do you think that Paul couldn't make the decision? That wasn't it. the proper bridge being built at this time was to send them back where they came from, and that there be an embassage that would come from Antioch of Syria to go back with them, but where the matter would be discussed where it originated from. And I'll tell you, that sometimes is not recognized in the right way of handling things as being a bridge. You know, you have brethren that are having problems and everything. Well, let's go get a specialist. Let's go get a specialist to handle the situation. No, let's go to God's Word. Let's not get outside things going on. And that's what this passage is telling us here. Go back where the problem, first of all, arose. They may not even know about it in Jerusalem. Get that out in the forefront. Be a bridge in that way, and let's find out what the truth is. And there we have a very good example of handling strife and issues among brethren. Matter of fact, of course, as you know the rest of the story in this, not meaning to be Paul Harvey, but using his words, everything that they had decided sounded good to everyone there. Sounded good. And so it was a good outcome in that. There was a letter then that was written to the Gentiles. We're not going to put upon you keeping the old law. We couldn't keep it ourselves. What we will put upon you is that you abstain from blood, from pollutions of idols, and from sexual immorality. And the reason being is that Moses is read every Sabbath day. So you don't harm the conscience of your Jewish brethren, and the Jewish brethren will not put upon you then that which is not given to you in the first place, that is, keeping the law of Moses. And so he makes that point to them. We must be a bridge with no allegiance to either side. Now, I'm talking about among brethren. With the truth, absolutely, and allegiance to the truth, absolutely. But with the hopes that both sides are served in the matter because truth is presented. Doesn't matter if it's friend, doesn't matter if somebody we really are close to, somebody that we like, maybe somebody else that we just really don't like that much. It doesn't matter about that. The matter is about the soul, their condition before God, and our love for them. That's what being a bridge is. We must give, not give allegiance to men, but to God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the utterance, as the oracles of God. If anyone serves, let him serve as from strength, as God supplies. So that in all things, and here is the point about being a bridge, God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I want to ask you this evening, are you a bridge to somebody? If anybody here says, well, I don't know anybody I need to be a bridge to, that means you don't ever get out of the house. You don't ever have dealings with anyone else. You don't even speak to your own family. You're out there on an island by yourself, and no need for a bridge when you're on an island. You don't want to leave. No. You need to be a bridge. There may be those in your family that have come to an age of accountability. They need to hear the truth. They need to be urged with patience and love to obey the Lord and become a child of God, be baptized for the remission of their sins, and start living that godly life. You need to be a bridge for them. Maybe some of your families, maybe some of your friends, are not living the way that they should. You need to be a bridge to them. You hold the truth. You don't take sides as far as men are concerned, but you take God's side. And you teach them. You be a bridge to bridge them from their lost condition to their saved condition if they will listen. To bring them back to the Lord. To make it to where they will confess their sins so that their sins will be forgiven. 1 John 1 verse 9. Opportunity abounds, I believe, for each and every one of us to be a bridge. And I'll tell you, do you know what Satan loves to do with bridges? Blow them up. He wants to blow them up. Because he recognizes that Christians working for the Lord, being bridges, those bridges will lead to Christ Jesus. And if he can blow them up, he stops that path. Don't let him detonate the bomb. Be a bridge. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.